breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, I don't know if you saw the front page of the New York Post, but I saw some stories prior to the Post's publication this morning. I was up a little bit early, 2:30 or so, and I was just rummaging around the interwebs looking for something to read. And Breitbart and some other people had a story up about this. But when the Post broke it on the front page today, this becomes a very significant item, at least in honest people's world. The administration and the rest of the media world may try to shut the Post down, but I consider them a credible source. So that was the front page today, and want to talk about that, plus some very personal insights that my next guest may have as it regards the passing of General Colin Powell yesterday. KT McFarland is my guest. She is the author of Revolution, and if you have not ordered it, you should, on Amazon.com or any other bookseller that you enjoy. But KT, before we get to the front page of today's paper, you had a very thoughtful opinion piece of General Powell yesterday, and I'm just curious if you'd share with us a little bit of what those thoughts were.
Yeah, I'd be delighted to. First of all, I've known General Powell since the 1980s when we were both in the executive suite of the Secretary of Defense. I was Secretary of Defense Weinberger's speechwriter, and Colin was the military assistant. So we were in and out of each other's offices a dozen times a day. And one of the things I was asked to do by Secretary of Defense Weinberger, with the permission of the president, President Reagan, was to write a speech and declare a policy that would be the Reagan Doctrine that would outline what our war-fighting, you know, guidelines were. And especially after Vietnam, which had sort of demoralized the military, we weren't really sure after the failures of the 1970s, where should we go next? And so one of the things that the first thing I did was talk to Colin Powell and ask him, tell me about the lessons from Vietnam. And he said, we fought a war we couldn't win. We didn't have the support of the American people. We kept having our priorities kept changing. We weren't sure what we were trying to accomplish. And it ultimately really tore apart the military. So anyway, I wrote a speech called, which ultimately became the Weinberger Principles of War, which President Reagan endorsed. And it had the following arguments. You only go to war to protect vital national interests, not just because you could or something might be desirable, but only for national interests, vital national interests. And you only go with adequate resources, with the full support of the American people, with a clear objective. And once those objectives were achieved, get out. Don't stick around and nation build. And then finally, you go to war, you go to win. And that became the foundation then, fast forward, for Colin Powell as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the 1990s with the first Gulf War. We had a limited set of objectives in Iraq. We did them. We achieved them. We got out victorious. And then fast forward another decade to after September 11th, and the United States went to war in Afghanistan and then Iraq. And with Iraq, we didn't have a clear set of objectives. It was sort of topple Saddam Hussein because he might have weapons of mass destruction, which he then might use against people. Well, Colin Powell was reluctant, and he expressed his own misgivings internally, but he went along with it. And he went to the UN, and he told the UN, oh, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. We're going to go to war. We're going to invade. And over the years, it became obvious that his initial reaction was the right one. It was going to end in failure, and it did. I've talked to him over the years, and it was pretty clear that he thought that his going to the United Nations, making the case for the weapons of mass destruction of Saddam Hussein, and then going to war was probably the biggest mistake he had ever made. So when I look at his life and the arc of his life, I think, you know, we're in the same position we were right after Vietnam. What's the purpose of our military? What are they good at? What are we supposed to use them for? Who are the enemies? And that's how, if we're ever going to honor somebody who is an iconic leader, when he was at the Pentagon in the Reagan administration, we were buddies. Because, you know, there weren't very many black flag officers, and there were even fewer women senior officials.
Right.
So the two of us were two odd ducks in every meeting we went to, but it was a friendship of a lifetime.
Yeah. Sounds very – and I remember the Powell Doctrine being talked about in the first Gulf War and what that looked like, because we did take victory so quickly for Iraq. Very interesting. Okay, let me shift gears real quickly. The front page of the New York Post today – has the Biden administration flying child migrants all over the country, but landing them in the middle of the night. They're starting in Texas, going to Florida, then landing up here in New York. No real thought in terms of where to put them or where to go, or is there? KT McFarland.
Hey, look, I think conservatives are making a big mistake. We're looking at the open border Biden policy, and we keep saying, oh, don't they understand this is a, this is going to be a problem, this is a big crisis. And then everybody pretends that, oh, well, no, everything's just fine. They know exactly what they're doing, and here's what they're doing. And I've been to Texas. I've talked to the people who are there. I have a daughter who's involved in politics in Florida. I see what they're doing there. The Biden administration knows they can't get the support of the American people for their agenda. So what are they doing? They're bringing in new voters. They're bringing in migrants who then they hope to, within a short period of time, give amnesty to, citizenship to, voting rights to. And they expect those people to vote for Biden, vote for the progressive socialist agenda. And that's what this is all about. It's not humanitarian. It's not because they don't understand the consequence. They know exactly what they're doing. And so when I talk to people in Florida, what they've said is it's very cynically, the Biden administration is taking those southern states particularly where there are majority voters are Republican and conservative, and they're putting the migrants there hoping that eventually they'll turn them, those states, from Democrat, I mean from Republican to Democrat. And the example I keep hearing is, if the Biden administration really loved migrants so much, why did they turn away all of the Cuban migrants who tried to get out of Cuba under socialism just a few months ago? Remember, the Biden administration sent the Coast Guard out and said, we're turning away all the ships. If they really believed in migrants fleeing oppression and economic problems, et cetera, why didn't they let the Cubans in? You want to know why? Because the Cubans vote overwhelmingly Republican.
And if this is all so on the up and up, why are they doing it in the dead of night? I mean, that's the other thing that I think a lot of people are asking.
The American people aren't going to like it.
Yeah,
and they're doing it in the dead of the night because they're doing it in a sneaky way. It's a deliberate, cynical plan to say, well, if these voters that we have here in America today don't like what we're doing, we're going to get new voters. We're not going to change our objectives. We're not going to modify our socialist agenda. We're just going to get new people to support us.
All right. You heard KT McFarland say it first here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And don't forget, KT's segments with each week are a brand new podcast that we've got called The Briefing with KT McFarland. And I hope you'll check that out at the Kevin McCullough podcast section of SoundCloud, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. KT McFarland, always appreciate your insights. Thanks for being here.
Honor and a pleasure, Kevin.
All right. Kevin McCullough, we've got a big show still straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.